As we get into God's Word, Second Corinthians chapter 4, and let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you that you've paid the price, but you've given us the power to take back what the enemy stole. And as we reflect on the glorious victories and the dark valleys of 2019, we look forward to the beginning of the year 2020. I believe that it is your desire for us to take back what the enemy has stolen. I believe it's your desire that we have fewer valleys and more mountaintop experiences. I believe it's your desire that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and that we walk in victory. I believe it's your desire that we are overcomers and not overcome by the things of the world. And so I pray that you bless this message, Lord, and help us to be the men and women of God you have called us to be in 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, his second letter, and in chapter 3, he speaks about the glory of the new covenant. And he talked about, though Moses had to cover his face because of the glory, the children of Israel didn't want to see it, but in Christ, the veil is taken away. Woo, hallelujah. I said, in Christ, the veil is taken away. And so he leads up to chapter 4 with the word therefore. And anytime you see therefore or wherefore, ask what is therefore. And he's transitioning from this great passage in chapter 3 and 2, the triumphant of Christ, the him being our epistle, the Spirit, not the letter, the glory of the new covenant. And he says, therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, or if you have King James, faint. Anytime you see faint, that's what it means. It means lose heart, give up, throw in the towel, get discouraged, want to quit. We can all relate to that at times. But we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And that should be our desire. O Lord, in 2020, shine on them. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine on them. Help me, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be an instrument of the light, that the light would shine on them, that they that are in darkness would see the glorious light and believe and be saved. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And so Paul is then reminding them, and we all need to be reminded, especially those of us in ministry, it's not about me. It's not about you. Ministry is not about us. It's not about being seen. It's not about being heard. It's about preaching Jesus. Amen. It's about proclaiming the light of the gospel of God. And so he says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts and gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's so much in verse 6. We're going to dissect that before we go on. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. You know, two events happen in the Bible that are similar. The creation of the universe. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." Prior to that time, there was no physical light. Being somewhat of an amateur scientist, I would reckon that to be when God created the elements. Light and sound and motion are the three areas in physics that they've built an entire science on. And none of that could have existed until the physics of it was in existence. And so God, in one word, created all of that, the energy, the light, all of that. And so it was a glorious event that we take that statement in Genesis for granted. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." But that was so much more than meets the eye, no pun intended. But then there was another event similar to that. We read that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. That we celebrated the birth of Christ, how he came in the world, announced by angels, worshipped by angels, in awed by shepherds, in awed by his mother and Joseph, gifts from kings from afar off, and how he lived that sinless life. He spoke everything the Father told him to speak, and then in obedience to the will of the Father, he surrendered his life and paid the ultimate price for our salvation. That was the second time God said, "Let there be light." For Jesus is the light of the world. He proclaimed that he was the light of the world, and before he left, he passed the torch onto us and said, "Now you are the light of the world." We're told to not put it under a bushel, not hide it, but to let it shine. Amen. And so God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I used to love it when I was out walking on the streets and some bum asked me if I had a light. "You talking to a preacher?" Well, that's just like saying, "Preach me a sermon." Yeah. Or, "Do you have any good news?" Scott Wright of Century 21 made the mistake of asking me that one time. I said, "You're asking a preacher if he has any good news. How much time do you have?" And then I begin to share how Jesus loved him. But this light of the glory of God came in the face of Jesus Christ. It didn't come from a star. It didn't come from some cosmic entity. It came in the face of a man, the Son of the living God. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And here Paul says, that light that shined, that glorious light that shined, came from God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm here to say this morning, I love Jesus, don't you? I love Jesus. He's the reason I'm standing up here. He's the reason that I exist. He's the reason for everything. Yes, he's the reason for the season, but the season shouldn't end after Christmas. He's the reason for everything. The glorious light that shined, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because we could go home and we could have a great sermon, but how's that going to help me on Tuesday night when I'm discouraged and depressed? So Paul doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. That's just the foundation of what he wants to say to the Corinthians in chapter 4. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Another translation is, "We've got this treasure in jars of clay." And you know, well, I have a collection of coffee cups that Carolyn, it just drives her crazy because she wants me to use all the matching ones that match the plates, but I have a collection of Star Trek coffee cups, and they're all different. In fact, she even said during the holidays, "Could you please use the Christmas cups?" Okay. left the Star Trek coffee cups alone. That's how they make them. They make them from earthen vessels. They make them. They're pottery. They take it and they mold it and they fire it in the ovens and they glaze it and they fire it again. Anybody ever did that in art class? You know, and you know, if you mess up, you back in my days, you just put two grooves in it and called it an ashtray. You know, so but that's who we are. We're dirt. We're earthen vessels. We're dirt. And it boggles the mind that the God of the universe, who can hold the universe in the span of his hands, whose ways are so much higher than us than we are above ants, chose to give us the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in this jar of clay, this earthen vessel, this piece of pottery made from dirt. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the reason he did that was so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So anytime we in ministry, whether it's pulpit ministry, music ministry, service ministry, whatever the case may be, we do anything and someone acknowledges it, we need to pray to the Father. I'm just an earthen vessel, and it all goes to the glory of God. Amen. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, as we say. The New Testament church in Paul's day was persecuted. I believe that could be our destiny as things continue to get darker. And even if we aren't physically persecuted, we are certainly spiritually persecuted by the devil. He's a liar. He will bring all kinds of thoughts to our mind. He will try to discourage us. I mean, it's the only way to stop this glorious gospel is to discourage us. And we all are human. We are earthen vessels. We have good days and bad days. And Paul says we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, I want to point out here the first word in this passage, verse 8, is the word we. Paul didn't say, you know, I'm preaching and writing the New Testament, so I'm crushed but not perplexed. I'm you know, despair, persecuted but not forsaken. He said, we. You're not alone in this thing. Amen? That encourages me right there, that I'm not alone in this thing. I know you have bad days too. I know you get depressed too. I know that you're hard-pressed on every side. I know that you're perplexed. I know that you're in despair. Persecuted, forsaken, struck down. I know the enemy is my enemy and he's your enemy. And I'm not here to give him any glory, but I'm here to say we are in this together. Amen. We. And we need to pray for one another. We need to lift each other up. We need to acknowledge that if I'm having a bad day, maybe she's having a bad day. If I'm having struggles with depression or discouragement, maybe he is too. And get out of our my four and no more mentality and get my eyes on the Lord and recognize that we are in this together. It's not just me. But in that passage of we, I want you to notice that he has an answer for every one of those. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but God will never leave us or forsake us. And we're struck down, but he hadn't killed us yet. We're not destroyed. I'm still standing. You know, sometimes I like to remember when I'm feeling discouraged that I know a lot of people that aren't still standing. And I'm not rejoicing that that's the case. I'm simply saying, yeah, devil, but I'm still standing. I'm still going to church. I haven't quit going to church. I haven't said, oh, well, you know, I prayed, God didn't answer it, I'm quitting. What's the point, you know? We're still standing. We're not destroying. And he tells us how we are able to have this kind of testimony, always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. Always carrying about. Back in the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, when God called Moses from the burning bush, told him that he had a job for him to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses felt very inadequate. He tried to talk God out of it. He said, I got a speech impediment. And he said, well, your brother can help you. God always has an answer for every excuse we have. And one of the things that God told him when he was saying, you know, how am I going to do this? I don't understand. He said, what's in your hand? You mean this wooden stick, my staff, my shepherd's staff, this rod, this old knotty, bent wooden stick? There you go. There you go. Now, that stick was just a stick, but it represented the power of God, because God said, that's the thing that you're going to take with you. Remember, before Pharaoh, he threw it down and it became a snake. And remember, he touched it to the Nile River, and the river turned to blood. This is the thing that he carried around with him. And I can imagine being human, he must have laid there some night looking at that thing, going, it's just a stick. But, you know, when he held it in his hands, as if God was standing right next to him. Because it wasn't not just a stick, it was the rod of God. And the rod of God did what Moses couldn't do. It parted the Red Sea. Now, Paul tells us, you're going to have some discouraging times. You're going to be pressed down, but not destroyed. But he says, here's the clue. Always carrying about, not a rod, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In Paul's dissertation in Romans, chapters 6, 7, and 8. He starts out talking about sin. What shall we say? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So grace is not an excuse to just sin. But then he goes on to say, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. So I've learned, I realize it's not me that's doing it, it's sin in me. That sounds like a cop-out, doesn't it? No, Mom, I didn't do it. It was sin in me that stole that cookie, you know. But it is. It's sin in me. It's in me. I it's like a cancer. I can't get rid of it. Only Jesus can wash it away, but I wake up every day in the flesh, and as long as I'm in the flesh, I'm going to be subjected to the flesh. And so it's sin in me. But then the glorious chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation of those that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then he says, so who is it that condemns you? It's not God. Well, is it Jesus? No, he died for you. Woo! Don't you just love that? I knew a brother once who was terminally ill. And the devil had been lying to him. What's your fault? You smoked your whole life. Call yourself a Christian. You should have let God deliver you those. And I mean, the devil was just beating him up. And I found out about it. Somebody else told me, you know, the devil's beating this guy up. He's telling him. So that next Sunday morning, I preached Romans 8. Who is he that condemns you? It's not Jesus. He died for you. God will never be mad at you. He doesn't approve of things we do, but he's never mad at you. He died for you. And so How do I deal with these times of discouragement, despair? I don't have a rod. I carry about the knowledge that Jesus loves me and died for me. The knowledge of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, He poured it out for me. Always carrying about my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also may be of Jesus may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, what same spirit? The same one Jesus had. According to what is written, I believe and have therefore spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And so, we got the same faith. And because we do, we have that knowledge that Jesus not only died for us, but he rose the third day, and the Lord Jesus will also raise us up too. So let's rehearse this for 2020. It's a Thursday night at 9 o'clock. You had a fight with your loved one. You're feeling discouraged. You say, Lord, I feel so discouraged. And the Lord says, what's in your hand? Oh, yeah. Like Moses, I get it. What am I caring about? The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in my mortal flesh. Thank you, Lord, you died for me. You love me. I may be having a bad day, but I'm carrying this around in 2020. Jesus loves me and died for me. Oh, yeah, and he rose again. Oh, yeah, and he's going to raise me too. Come on, church. You hear what I'm saying? I think that'll preach anybody out of depression, don't you? I think that'll lift anybody out of the slumps. And so the real problem, see, is that we're not carrying the rod with us. Amen? We set it down. Did you ever hear Moses going, what did I do with that rod? I had it a while ago. There's water here I need to part. You think he lay, oh man, he slept with that thing, brother. And Paul said, always carrying about with you the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal flesh. You want to have the life of Jesus manifest in you, carry about his death. And then remember the resurrection. And then remember you're going to be raised with him. Hallelujah. Therefore, the final conclusion to chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That's what this is all about. It's about not quitting. Remember at the beginning he said, we faint not. There's your topic sentence. Take you back to grammar class. There's your topic sentence. We don't lose heart. Here's the concluding paragraph. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What that translates to? Though Roger got discouraged Thursday night, he remembered the sermon he preached Sunday morning, and then he got happy. Though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. As long as I don't leave my rod somewhere and forget where I put it. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction... Don't you love that? Sometimes it don't feel very light, does it? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, I know I've shared this with you before, but I'll go ahead and share it again. I was sitting in Del Rancho, drinking coffee, reading my Bible, which was a morning habit every morning years ago when I commuted. And I was reading through the Scripture. I was reading through the Old Testament. I would pick up where I left off the day before. Only this day, I was reading about all of the stuff that Solomon got to build the temple, which is probably the most least inspirational passage in the Bible. So many thousands of this, and so many this, and so much of that. And I'm like, okay, you know, sometimes I've skipped over that, but this day I was like, I'll just read it, you know, okay, this and that, this and that. And it got to bronze. And it said there was so much bronze that it wasn't weighed. And I said, well, Lord, I guess we'll never know how much bronze he had. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, yes, you'll know. For our light affliction has a far more eternal weight in glory. Woo, man, that'll preach. See, bronze represents affliction. And we don't know the weight of what you're going through. Maybe 2019 you went through hell. Maybe you went through some of the darkest valleys you've ever went to. But you know what? When Jesus was led into the wilderness, into the dry, barren wilderness, he came out full of the power of God. And we don't know the weight of what you're going through until you get to heaven and you say, wow, so much worse could have happened if I hadn't went through that valley, but I came out stronger and more in love with Jesus than I ever was before. So, yeah, you may not know until you get to heaven. But our light affliction, which is just for a moment in the light of eternity, is working for us. Working for us. Who's working for you? The affliction is working for me. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are going to be there forever, eternal. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I got a rod I'm going to be carrying in 2020. It's going to be the knowledge that Jesus loves me and died for me and rose again. And I'm going to remind the devil every time he tries to press me down that I may be persecuted but not destroyed. Always bearing about in my body, always carrying about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in my mortal flesh. Hallelujah. Come on up, Nola. Yes, 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 yes. The Sermonator. This Sermonator t-shirt my Carolyn's brother got me. And I'd already had this sermon worked out, and I thought, man, this is the perfect day to wear this thing. Because that's a Sermonator message from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We don't quit. Others may. I may not. Others may. Others may say, well, why don't you, church isn't growing, why don't you quit? Or finances aren't getting any better, why are you giving money to that church? Or you know, any number of things. But we do not quit. We do not lose heart. Even though the outward man perishes, our inward man is being renewed every day. How many of you guys have ever come to church and really needed church? Every one of us. Every one of us. Including me. Sometimes I get the sermon ready and then I'm lifted after I preach it. Because it's not me and it's not you, it's the devil and it's Jesus, and we're the pawns and the prizes in a battle of the ages. And so we can't quit, we can't lose heart, we keep going. Well, I don't feel like going today. That's when you need to go. Amen. I don't feel like reading my Bible. That's when you need to read it. I don't feel like praying. When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, he was led there by the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we give the devil credit for things that are not the devil's. So, one of the things I've decided this year, with the rod in my hand, I'm not going to give him credit that he doesn't deserve. If God sees fit to lead me into the wilderness to be tempted, then I'm just going to pass the test. I'm not going to start finger pointing or making excuses. I am where I'm at because God is in control. Think about it. That's a good statement to have, isn't it? You know, whatever happens to me, I know that God is in control. And yes, I'm not saying that the devil doesn't do certain things, but the more credit we give him, the more he wants to do things. So let's just keep the rod of God in our hands and our eyes on the Lord. And I believe 2020 is going to be a year of victory. Don't you? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you for the cloak of your anointing that you are putting upon your people. It is like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard and down his robe. And I pray that anointing would be on each person here right now, that it would begin to pour down their head, over their shoulders, and down their body. They would feel the power and the presence of God in their lives in a new and a fresh way. That would be like a fan to a spark that would ignite a flame. That, Lord, that though many people may have had some hard times this year, you said a smoldering flax you would not extinguish, or a broken reed you would not break. And so, Lord, if though people may just feel like their spiritual life is just a spark, fan the flame this morning. Send your Holy Spirit and the anointing of God upon them, and give us all that rod like Moses had to carry, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus would be made manifest in our flesh in 2020. Let us walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let us run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, abiding in the vine, keeping our eyes on you, and knowing that you who begin a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when just as you were raised from the dead, you will raise us too to live with you forever. And so we're not going to quit. We're not going to be discouraged. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, has a far more eternal weight and glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We give you the praise. And the church said loudly, amen. So be it.
Hallelujah.
Well, victory is mine. How's that? Can you shift that quick? Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Come on, let's all stand. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, put your hands together, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Everybody. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Now, can you do that twice as fast?
Go for it.
Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Everybody. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. I could keep her up here all day, but you guys want to go to lunch. So God bless you. Thank you for coming. Woo! I feel good,
Amen.
Don't you?
Hallelujah.
She did? Didn't she do an awesome job?
I just follow you, whatever you want.
I think we need to get her doing a little Richard version of gospel music or something. Chuck Berry. Wonder if Nola could do that little skip with her guitar. So I bet she could do. God bless you. Love you guys. Give someone a big hug before you go.